I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
For today's show, we have Cam, Jess, and Martha, and they are the three female coaches that we have here at Vigor Ground Fitness and Performance in Seattle. And I'm excited for this show for a couple of reasons. One, I really appreciate these girls. I work with them on a day-to-day basis, and we always have a good time. And two, because of the topics that we bring to the table. You know, we'll talk about the struggles that women have on a day-to-day basis. We'll talk about the struggles for women coaches in the fitness industry and some sour situations that have happened to them in the past, some experiences that they've gone through. And we'll also dive deep into women empowerment and how women can help other women feel empowered themselves. So without further ado, let's get into it. Perfect. So talking about fitness, we have three of, I think the only three female coaches from the Vigor Ground Fitness and Performance facility on the show with us today. We have Jessica Edie.
Yes, hello.
We have Cam and we have Martha. So I'm excited to have them on today. We're gonna dive into some good topics. Obviously a little bit more towards the female listener, but obviously something that we can all use and just to understand different situations within the fitness industry and also within just training women and women in general. So first and foremost, thank you all for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
Sure.
I mean, thanks. You're welcome.
This is gonna be a great episode. There's gonna be a lot of laughing. I can already foresee that. If any of you know these three, then we always have a great time, and this will not be anything less. So first topic, tell us a little bit about each of your stories and what made you become coaches. I know Cam is the shortest length of being with us at Vigor, so I'll let her start off.
Yeah, I got my degree in exercise science at Central Washington University, but I kind of like scoped this out of like the timeline of how I actually got into coaching, because when I went into college, I didn't know what I wanted to declare. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And it actually pans back all the way to 2017. I actually got an injury in my hip that kind of started, it was a terrible injury, but it started my path to coaching. So I got this injury, nothing was really dealt with it. Went to college, started doing physical therapy. And physical therapy was kind of my first intro into weightlifting and kind of had a purpose behind it too. So it was learning how to squat with proper form, learning how to deadlift with proper form, rather than just kind of like guess and figure it out myself. So I got to do that. And with that, I actually met a lot of people on my school's rugby team. And so that actually led me to playing collegiate rugby. We were second in the nation our first year as a varsity team. And from there, like my training had purpose. So I got to weightlift because it was for a greater purpose with my team. And like, I wasn't lifting for physique or aesthetic. I was lifting to be strong and powerful and be the best athlete I could on the field, which being an athlete my whole life, like I love sports. I love team sports. It's just what I've done forever. And so end of my freshman year, I actually declared exercise science because I started falling in love with how weightlifting made me feel, overcoming some like body dysmorphia and just wanting to learn more about the body and make a career out of it. Wasn't sure where it was going to go. And so fast forward after my rugby career, nearing the end of my college career, nearing graduation, I became a personal trainer at my school's gym. So that was my first like job into the coaching field. And still like very green, very naive, just learning from people who hired me basically. And over the years, it's just evolved and somehow I ended up back at Vigor in my hometown. I've moved around quite a bit, stayed on the east side of Washington, went to California, learned sports performance, learned a lot through PT with my own injuries. And that's kind of what keeps me motivated, is that I am able to correct and assess my own injuries and like work around them and still be fit and not be in pain, because that is just like a huge killer. And I just personally know that injuries can debilitate you. And so that's kind of my motivator for my clients. And if I work with athletes, like how can they perform their best with being pain free? So circled around, got back to Vigor, knew about Vigor for a couple years. Even when I moved away, I was like, I told my parents to go check it out. They never did, but I knew about it. And so when I ended up back home, I was like, obviously I'm going to go check this place out. Like I've known about it, got to see what they're about, and loved it, applied for an internship and have been there since.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Jess, how long have you been with Vigor now, Jess?
As of March 16th, it's been 5 years.
Perfect. And that's from the moment you stepped in.
As a client, starting from a client.
Right, though. Right. And as a coach?
October 2016.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what,
all right,
what brought
so
you here.
So that could be a novel.
And well, I'll preface that by saying that I will have each and every one of these girls on at a later date by themselves for two reasons. One, because they have really great stories and really great information. And number two, because they all have a very specific and different way of going about their coaching, whether it's how they deal with clients, how they assess and all that. And I think it's very important to understand the differences and how they're all valuable, even though they're different. So I just wanted to say that. So the short version, Jess, Edie, tell us about yourself.
How I got my start. So I'm just going to keep it really brief. So, so I found Vigor because I was engaged to get married, and I was looking for ultimately, like I had like 3 months left till my wedding, and I was in a place of like, I was very overweight at one point. Like I was a young athlete, super fit, played, you know, sports into collegiate level, and then fell off the nutrition train and the fitness train after doing so many years of, you know, working out continuously that I just kind of lost it, gained a lot of weight. So anyways, finding Vigor, right? So I actually found Vigor because I found it online and I saw there was like a deal going on, and I just was like, I need a quick fix. Like, at this point, I only have 3 months left till my wedding. Like, I need to trim down. And so I came in for orientation and really just fell in love with the atmosphere as soon as I got in there, and knew that this was something that I definitely wanted to be a part of, as, you know, a client. Like, I needed something that was challenging and intriguing, like when I played in college or high school when I played basketball then. Like, I needed that like vibe. And the cool thing is, like, Luca, he has that background. And so that style of team training, like, made me feel like, okay, like, we're all in this together, like the greater good. So I just really started falling in love with that concept. And it was really something I was just, like, looking for and didn't even realize it until I was in the midst of it. So I started with just like our month trial, got paired up with a coach and like hit the ground running. Like, ultimately, my biggest thing was consistency. I lacked that and discipline. I had fallen off that train since playing sports. And so it was like one day at a time, one class at a time. And within a matter of months, like, I had dropped some weight and some inches and had, you know, a really good experience, feeling confident and feeling pretty good about myself for my wedding. And then from there, I came back, you know, like, signed up, like, full, like, semi-private, like, I'm taking it to the next level, let's go, like, I want to hit my goals, and really just, like, dove into it. It was probably about the 6 month mark of me being a client where I had this, like, feeling that, like, I need to be a part of the gym. It was just, like, this, like, gut intuition. Like, I remember sitting at the old facility on that, like, little green patch behind the front desk of turf, you know, that little one where everyone cooled right, down. Thinking, like, I need to be a part of this. Like, I had never experienced that calling. Like, I would say it was, like, a true, like, universal call and pull of the soul that I needed to be a part of this facility in some shape or form, and I didn't know exactly how, but I also knew that we were lacking a women's program. And so I got the nerve up to, you know, like, talk to Luca. It probably took me like 3 weeks. I sat down with him and I like just blacked out and told him everything of like my purpose, my call, like I'm feeling pulled to this. And he was like, okay, let's do the internship. And, you know, by May of 2016, I was interning. And by October I was a coach, and then of 2016, and I've been coaching ever since. But on top of that, like through that, I've been able to create our women's strength training program called Strong Her. And, that's been a really amazing success to take it literally from just a feeling and a little bitty like thought in my mind to like bring it to fruition and have it being as amazing as it is. Has been like a true blessing. So it's really like going from a client to a coach. Like I'm homebred. Like my roots are deep there. Like I know the ins and outs and the struggles. But it's been a really amazing journey and blessing to be a part of this and really find my calling. Like you never right. know where it's going to happen. So
right.
Yeah.
And just being open to that. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Martha is actually,
yes.
Martha, what was it? How long has it been since you've been affiliated with Vera? Because I remember that you were there for a while, and then you left, and then obviously you came back as a coach. But I remember you being there as a client. How long ago was that?
Oh, I think I started, it was either the end of 2011 or early 2012. I just remember it was after, no, it had to have been 2012, because it was 3 months after I gave birth to Lucas, my second child, and a coworker asked me to join them to do the charity 9 a.m. And I went to my first boot camp with one of my coworkers, and after that charity class, I decided to do the unlimited 1 month trial. Before I actually signed up for a year contract with Vigor. So it was in 2012.
Wow.
And when I was a member.
And how'd that go from being a member to kind of cycling back and becoming a coach?
I didn't become a coach until 2014. I actually was approached by another private gym to become a coach. But in 2012, when I joined Vigor, I was really inspired by all the members there, specifically from Mama Rhonda's daughter, Erin. She was going to team training at 5:45 every Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings. Mm-hmm. And I was so motivated every time I saw her. She would always come in and work out in her little sports bra and shorts. And I was like, man, I want to be just like her. And if you guys didn't know, I never worked out a day in my life prior, like in high school or anything. I don't have a sports background. So working out was like a whole new life to me. So seeing everybody, all the members, I was like, wow, this is dope. I could move. I didn't know I could move like this. I didn't know I could do push-ups and, you know, squats and all this stuff. I was just doing all the team training, no weights at the time, but inspired by everybody there. So going back to Rhonda's daughter, I was truly inspired by her, and I saw that she competed in a bodybuilding show, a bikini show. So I made it my goal to compete in my first show within the first year of giving birth to Lucas. And so I picked a show at the end of 2012, and I dedicated myself to working out 2 times a day, sometimes Monday through Saturday, working out. And then after that first show, I actually placed 3rd place in my bikini show.
in 2012. After that, I competed for a good 7 years. In between that time, in 2014, I became a coach at a private gym and coached there for about a little over a year. And then I felt like I missed something and I was missing vigor. So I reached back out to Luca and told him that, hey, you know, I really miss coming to your gym. And this is when vigor was moving from the old location to the new location on Burnett. So I thought it was so great that he was expanding his business, and he let me come back to do let me come back not just as coaching, but I did the whole internship and finished the internship earlier than the 12-week time that was recommended. And it was really cool to come back coaching because I was able to reconnect with the old members and just picked up where I left off.
Awesome. As far as, you know, we all know that the fitness industry is, one, a difficult industry, and the other thing is also it's a male-dominated industry, and it's been for years. Cam, what have you dealt with, if anything, as far as, like, whether you've been discriminated against or just treated differently than your male counterparts?
I think being a female in the fitness industry is really hard. I think it's really hard. You have to be a certain type of person to really make it, I think. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I think men have been in, if you look back in history, like, it's been men just taking over the fitness industry. Women didn't work out, you know, they weren't supposed to play sports and all this stuff. So I've had some experiences at a previous job. I was actually the only full-time female coach in a very large facility. We had different departments, but in the strength and performance department, I was the only female coach, probably out of 15, maybe 20 coaches, including like supervisors and managers. So it was literally me and all these men all the time. And for me personally, like, I make really good friends with guys. Like, that's just my history, is like, I can easily be one of the guys or whatever. But I felt like was my boy not the same job, and I think that created like a stigma for the other male coaches, is like, they didn't think I was approachable because, well, my boyfriend's right over there, like, can't talk to me. So I think that created some stigma, and then from there, my supervisors, all male, I felt like I got short ends of the stick in regards to like what I coached. It wasn't a recruiting process, so I didn't go find my own clients. I was given clients from the facility. So when I got put into just general population classes, I'm really good at that. Like, that's something I love. I love to do that. But the reason I went to this facility was to get better at sports performance and work with athletes. And I continuously asked, I would set up meetings with my male supervisor, and I asked him, hey, like, how can I get more clients? What can I do? I want to get better at, you know, training athletes. And, you know, there was always this promise of like, oh yeah, it's coming, don't worry. And it never did. So they kind of put me in a box. I felt like, of course, there's two sides, like two stories, but, there was even a meeting we had one time where a peer, a coworker, so same level of coach as me, was asked the question of like what one of my weaknesses is in regards to like training. And so before I even got to answer, a male supervisor had spoken for me and said that pull-ups are my weakness. And granted, yes, pull-ups are a weakness of mine, but the fact that there was someone who spoke for me and someone who I'm supposed to actually report to was pretty degrading, and it wasn't okay in my book, and it actually like affected me. It was like a lot of things, of course, like one little story, like it's hard to relate,
right.
There was a lot of other things that kind of went on, and I went home and I remember calling my dad. I was like, Dad, like my supervisor, he kind of demeaned me, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. How do I confront him without like being that, you know, bitch? No, like,
right.
Basically, like, if, you know, females hold their ground, they're bitches. But if, you know, you let them walk all over you, or people walk all over you, you're soft. And so it's like that weird balance to try to stand up for yourself, be the best coach you can be, and not kind of, I don't know, also not be, I don't know, it's really hard to explain. It's like there's always this stigma on powerful, quote unquote, intimidating females. Mm-hmm. Like they're too abrasive when they say what they want. And it's like, well, shit, how do I get what I want?
Right.
So that's just kind of one example. But yeah, it bleeds everywhere. And it's for me, it's, I'm oblivious at first. I'm like, I don't think I'm being undermined. I don't think I'm, you know, being, because I don't get offended easily. So it's like, I don't know. So it's hard to
find that line. I think it's also, you know, the whole conversation of giving the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah.
To where you want to like, and I think if you've had that experience in the past, sometimes you go to that. It's like the default, right? Like you go to that feeling because it's like you have that self blame. Like, oh, it's actually like, I might be overreacting. I'm probably thinking something that I'm not, or seeing something that's really not there, right? And I think over time, the more and more you do that, then it just gets easier to go to that default, right? And then you have two choices. One, you either convince yourself that you're wrong, right? And that's a process in itself, or you just ignore it. But no matter what, that's not, you're not dealing with the issue, so it's only going to come up even more, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly what I had to do.
And I can see that, you know, more in the fitness, I mean, again, it's across the board in all industries and in all careers and all that, but in the fitness industry, just because of what it is, right? It's about strength, right? Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, whether you like it or not, it's like physical strength, like visual strength too.
Men are stronger.
Like mm-hmm. it's just men are stronger, and that's just the way it is, right? Yeah. So having females step into that, I can see, and obviously conversations with you all and other females that are in the fitness industry, it's this constant battle of not only for myself, but for like the whole gender essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So, which leads me to the next question I was going to ask Jess, and obviously everybody can chime in, but you know, I've seen the difference that a female can do coaching females, right? So what about being a female in this industry of fitness can differentiate you from other male counterparts? Obviously, I know it's kind of the given one, right? Like 9 times out of 10, women will want to train with women, right? But there's also something to be said as far as just the knowledge that you have. You can really train anybody. But what would you put in your words? What would you put, like, what would you think is that what makes you different than a male coach?
I love that question. And the two things that kind of popped up to my head regarding that was relatability and vulnerability. And that's just coming from my perspective as me being a coach and what I bring to the table. My background is a little bit different than just like going to school for, you know, like, for instance, like example, like Cam went for exercise and science, like where my degree is like psychology. And then I kind of like twisted that for me, like we all have our different journeys, right? Mm-hmm. So for me coming at this, I feel like I bring a level of like being able to be relatable because I'm willing to be truly vulnerable with life, with my clients, and not being scared. I mean, when you first start out in the industry, it's a little scary because you don't know that much and you're just trying to like figure out your path. But now that I've been in it for a couple years and my confidence and my knowledge is gaining and growing, like, I truly know that those two things are super big when it comes to coaching classes, coaching a lot of females. It even helps with coaching men, though, as well. Like, I have multiple male clients, and they, you know, some of them have come to me with, you know, dark issues, but being able to be empathetic and sympathize, like, there's just, like, little subtle things. Not that males aren't, I think there's, I, not that males can't do that, but I think there's, like, also, like, what's the word, like, a maternal aspect to it of, like, being a caregiver and wanting to make sure our clients are taken care of. So I would say for me, like, being relatable and being vulnerable and transparent have been, like, really, like, to be honest, keys to my success as a coach, and being open to communicate and create a safe environment for the individual to share.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, it's a good point you make that. I think for men, I just don't think it's natural, right?
No.
To be vulnerable, to show weakness, obviously, right? Yeah. And I can relate to that, because even in the coaching, type of coaching that I do with La Tribu, there's this stigma of, like, kind of, you just have to be hard the whole time, right? And not be susceptible to different situations and scenarios that might help, I mean, knock you down, right? And being real with the fact that, man, it knocked me down. I'm going to get back up, but, like, I was at a low point at some point, and it's okay. So with me, the thing that I've seen impressive with you three is the fact of the strength that you've shown. And I think now it's because you guys have done it for so long and it's ingrained in you, and that's just who you are, that no matter the situation, whether you're teaching a group of guys or semi-private where you would just, you know, one guy or whatever, that it's not even an issue anymore, right? So I think it comes from, one, the experiences, and two, just really putting yourself in that position. And I think the biggest thing is, I love the fact that everybody, especially with you three, has a direct connection to fitness through a struggle, right? And that's obviously the lowest point, you know, that people have, are those struggles. And for men, not saying that they don't go through struggles, because we all do, but I just don't think we're as open to share those struggles, right? Yeah. To be vulnerable and to show even the journey, even though it could be flipped into something positive, but we'd never really take it that far to even think about that, right? We always just, how can we go around it or avoid the whole situation if possible?
Or I feel like they'll mask it, like they'll mask their issue with fitness, and that's where ego.
Right.
Like, you see all these big gym bros with their egos. Like, that's totally where it comes into play. Is they're hiding.
Yeah.
Or masking, or they're hiding up what's going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also, it's like a society thing. Like, think about society as a whole. Like, men are supposed to be this, women are supposed to be this. And, like, with the fitness industry, we're, like, trying to, like, tangle it up now. It's fun.
Right.
I love it. I think it's really an exciting time in the world that we get to be female coaches in this industry, because we're, like, pushing boundaries.
Right. Right. And Martha, for you, I was going to ask you, I mean, I know in the whole bodybuilding / bikini circuit, you know, all that whole world, I know you've had, have you coached people in that industry as well, or have you just been, like, a participant in it?
With bodybuilding, I've actually had three female competitors who wanted to do bikini and figure. So I help coach them through their nutrition and do the muscle isolation for their workouts, and then posing for stage presence. So I did do that a couple years back for three competitors.
And with that, how much, because I've seen it, I mean, I saw Jess go through that process, and a couple other clients at the gym. How is it dealing? I mean, I know there's a psychological part to it, right? Where it comes to the struggle of whether it's, you know, you're doing your cut or whatever you're doing just to prep for it. How do you deal with that as a coach, right? Is it more based off of experience, right? Because you've done it and you know how to deal with it, or is it just other, like, kind of like general knowledge?
I think because I've gone through it and I've experienced the different phases, I was able to coach them through. But I've actually had a coach. I know a coach who tried to coach fitness competitors and go through the whole 16-week process without experiencing, you know, like the cutting or the the water cut. They kind of messed that competitor's show.
Wow.
The show day up. And that's really tough for that competitor because they went through 12 to 16 weeks of prep, and come show day, their coach kind of screwed them over because they didn't know what to do from there. So I don't think anybody who hasn't gone through it or been coached through it themselves should be coaching bodybuilders or competitors to do a show.
Interesting. And I could see how that would mess with, again, just the psyche of it, right? With that person that was putting all that time and effort and real struggle to kind of get wiped out.
Especially through the last 3 to 4.
Yeah, I could see that. That's crazy.
Yeah, the last 4 weeks are really tough for competitors because it's draining mentally and emotionally, and they're super depleted of nutrition. And for women with their hormones going up and down, even on a regular without prepping for a show, the hormones get all messed up and they could become a hot mess, crying and all the extra stuff.
And I'm laughing for the listeners, I'm laughing because Jess is making point. She's pointing at herself. I'm not laughing at the statement that Martha made.
It's not only Jess, it's every competitor, even actually male. I've seen male competitors actually go through that emotional, mental block, or like right before the show, how they break down. It could be really detrimental to somebody's mental health.
It absolutely is.
Wow, that's crazy.
I remember I forgot how to coach a deadlift. A kettlebell deadlift. Martha, has that ever happened to you?
No. I've had certain blocks.
Yeah.
Wow. So kind of changing the topic from, you know, the discrimination and all that. What I've seen firsthand from you girls is the whole empowerment kind of movement thing from women to women, right? And it's pretty impressive because, you know, we get these clients that come in not really understanding or knowing what's even going to really happen at the gym. And kind of like, you know, I'm glad Martha mentioned it to where when she came into the gym, she had never worked out before, right? So it's pretty impressive to see the way you guide and you lead women to believe a little bit more in themselves and to actually, you know, you can actually physically see them pushing through these difficult moments of whether it's finishing a workout or an exercise or whatever. And then you can kind of see it in their eyes, their belief in themselves just kind of, you know, kicks up to another level. So for Martha,
that confidence.
Yeah. If you can answer, I had a question. It was, how can women empower other women? And how can strength training, or how does strength training kind of become a part of that?
I think that other women can definitely help empower or feel empowered by sharing their stories, how they've overcome their struggles or battles in their lives. I feel like I could relate to a lot of women who have or had low self-esteem. Growing up I didn't have the greatest confidence in myself, and it came from, you know, like family members telling me certain things or how I look or I shouldn't look a certain way, and that really 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 put this made myself feel really low about myself. And it actually went into my mid-20s of feeling the low self-esteem, low confidence. And after discovering fitness or working out, it helped me build that confidence for myself and seeing the progress, how I could move weights, lift weights, move, and it made the stress levels go away after having kids as well. So I think that when women start to share their stories and tell and show everybody that they've overcome their battles, we could help each other and show that we could all do it.
Yeah, and on that same topic of sharing stories, I know the power behind that, and which is also an exciting time to announce Jess and Cam's podcast, The Weights, Wine, and Wisdom. Where I can, you know, just knowing them, I can already see the power that it'll have within women just listening to their stories and sharing their experiences of how they deal with and struggle with certain things. So obviously be on the lookout for that. We'll put the information in the detailed notes for this podcast so you guys can click over and listen to them. But I wanted to ask Jess that same question, because Jess is the leader of the Strong Her movement within Vigor. And I know she's had a humongous positive impact in a lot of women's lives to this day, even where she was holding a virtual training session with some of the women right before we got on to film this podcast. But how do you feel women can empower women and how strength training kind of fits into that?
Well, one, I feel like in society, we are raised to like kind of we're kind of pitted against each other. Like as women, it's like we want to be better and better and better. And you can agree to disagree, but I've experienced it. I personally have done that to women. I've had it done to me. So as a coach now and being the head of this program about empowering women and helping women feel better in their own skin through weight training, it's ultimately my goal to help shift that perspective and know like all of us, like women need to like, we can change ourselves, the community, the world by like lifting each other up. So like the ultimate goal with Strong Her is have these women come in. Like some of my ladies that I coach have like some of them walked in the door and they had never touched a weight in their life. And it's been really, really cool to see my women grow in confidence and in strength and be willing to push boundaries of like weightlifting failure so that they kind of like gain confidence. But that starts with me being vulnerable, relatable, and creating a very safe environment for them to feel like they can even try to attempt some of the lifting stuff. But what I've seen throughout the program is that one, it's so important to just create a very like loving and safe environment for women to feel comfortable where there's like no cattiness, no drama. I refuse to allow it in my group. If I feel that there's any, to be honest, like I think the law of attraction is a big thing when it comes to my group. So like a lot of the women that continue to come in, I mean, it's just like our personalities, we're supposed to all be together, and the women that will come in the future, same thing. Like I'm more than happy to always have new people come in. But really it starts with like me being willing to be vulnerable and relatable and then create that safe place. And then also challenge them constantly in the sessions. Like, okay, well you did that weight last week. Let's try, like let's add 5 pounds. But I don't know. I'm like, but you don't know unless you try. And then they try and then they succeed. And then all of a sudden it's like we're hooting and hollering and high-fiving. And so it's like just, I don't know how to, it's just really cool. Like I'm like getting chills right now, just pumped talking about it. Cause I'm like yelling into the thing. Sorry.
That's all right. That's right.
It's just been really cool process to like be like a stepping stone to help women in the community like feel better about themselves and just help women gain confidence and get stronger overall.
And it's crazy because you would think that, you know, when you say that, right, that it's just, you won't know if you can do it until you try. Mm-hmm. As common sense as that sounds, right, that anybody would know that, it's still a very scary thing. And obviously in that environment, right? And yeah. I think, you know, I shot a podcast with Theo yesterday, and we were talking about the intimidation factor of just walking into a facility like ours, where yeah. It's not a typical gym, right? It's not, you know, we don't have the treadmills, we don't have any of that stuff. So just even seeing the workouts, how it could be intimidating to people that walk in right off the street. But it's also, that's the beauty part of it for me, and I think it's the same for the coaches, where you see them being timid day one, and then 30 days later, it's like a whole new person, right?
Yeah, it's so cool to watch.
And their personality even flourishes within that environment. So I think it's something cool to see. Cam, as far as for that same question, and I ask you the same question just because, you know, we had the conversation of how you've had and felt some discrimination in the past. How do you feel women can empower women, adding something to what Martha and Jess already said?
I think I want to go like the route of like coach to coach, like strength coaches, female strength coaches to other female strength coaches. Like we all said, like the industry is just very male dominated. And so being able to support other female coaches in what they're doing, I think is really important so we can grow the females in the fitness industry. And that's also hard to say because there's a lot of just Instagram fit girls, you know, doing whatever workouts and like no knowledge and no actual like story. They're just working out and then they become Gymshark athletes or something, you know, like no real reputable knowledge. It's hard. The world of social media with fitness is very wishy-washy, I think. But finding those coaches, like there are a lot of strong female coaches, not only in Washington, but like in the country that I'm starting to find out about that I want to emulate, or I really want to support, or they're doing something different that is helping their community or helping their clients. And they're not doing it in a way that is ego, where they're trying to just get more likes or get more viewers or get more, you know, people to watch their stuff. They're actually providing valuable content to help people and better people. And I think that is where the fitness industry goes wrong, is like we kind of collectively, I think it's lost sight of, you know, what the true values of fitness are and what it means, what health means and what it means to be a coach, and all those things. So I think it's really important that, you know, like me and Jess, like I first met Jess and I actually was very intimidated by Jess, and like, it's not her fault. That's me. That's just like, I don't know who this is. Like, I remember I walked in and like, I introduced myself and she was like, I'm finishing a class, please. I was like, oh, shit.
No, I didn't.
Like, you were pretty close. You were like, I have a couple more minutes of this class. I'm like, okay. Oh, God.
I'm trying to maintain a level of professionalism.
Right. Yeah, right. You. But it was still like, and then, of course, I got to know her. And like, same with Martha. It's like, it's females in the industry. You don't know what they're like, I think. You don't know if they're going to be like all for the fame and all for the booty pics, or if they're actually like giving people and their clients like good information and making them safe and making them healthier and better every day. So I think supporting each other and empowering us, not only within Vigor, but finding those coaches at other facilities that are doing amazing things with their clients. Like, we got to support other small businesses.
All right, Martha. And for the last question, I'll have you go first and I'll give some time for Cam and Jess so they can think about their answer. But what do you think is the biggest thing that women struggle with right now?
I think that women struggle with their physical appearance and the number that they see on the scale. So I think if women let that out of their minds of how they look appearance-wise and focus on their health internally, they'll be able to move better and be more in tune with their health internally to be able to get where they need to be physically. And as far as the number on the scale, women need to understand that it's not just about the number on the scale to have progress in fitness. So they need to know that the number on the scale could be going up for a number of reasons, that what time of the month it is, or if they've gained muscle mass, or just water weight. They should focus on how they feel and how they fit in their clothes. So I think physical appearance and the number on the scale is what women focus on or what they struggle with.
Okay. That's a great answer. So Cam, I'll go to you next. What do you think is the biggest struggle for women?
I think women struggle with changing females' definition of what beauty is nearly the hardest part of being a coach, but it's just trying to empower them in such a way, like, you can lift 100 pounds and you won't get bulky. I promise you cannot get bulky from lifting.
I hate that myth. That is so true. Who said that first and shut
up? Who said that? It was probably some woman who was insecure and not confident in their body.
But believe me, I like the muscle look for myself.
For sure. And I really just think changing the definition of strength and, you know, trying to change, not necessarily change their goals. Like, usually people come in and say, I want to lose weight. It's like, okay, great. But they want to lose weight for the wrong reasons. They want to lose weight because they think skinny will make them feel better, or skinny will make them happy, or skinny will make them more confident. And it's like, being the coach, you have to change that definition. It's like, you want to come in here to get stronger, so that maybe for Jess, she's going to say, so if the apocalypse comes, you can fight everything off.
We're living it.
Yeah. Exactly. We're living it right now. But trying to flip the script of, like, what do you really want? Like, and trying to not demean their goals, but more so have them think about different things. It's like, why do you want to be quote unquote skinny? Like, what does that bring you? Who told you that skinny equals happiness? And it really doesn't. And so trying to, of course, being vulnerable and personable is going to help kind of open those gates for open communication and get them to talk about their whys and why they're at the gym and why they gained the weight in the first place, or why they stopped working out in the first place, and all this stuff. It opens kind of old wounds. And as a coach, you have to take those very, very fragile people sometimes and kind of make them stronger mentally more than they can be physically.
Right, right. Jess?
I like those answers. And then I have, I'm going to piggyback off that, obviously. Why did I even say that? Like, all right. So regarding what women struggle, so yeah, physique, scale, for sure. But a lot of it, I think, is rooted in how we feel about ourselves internally when it comes to lack of confidence and self-esteem, is probably like where I'm coming from, is more like the mental health aspect of it, is like, and self-love and like truly believing in you. That's a huge struggle that I see. Not, I mean, personally, absolutely, I struggle with all those things. But something I see like consistently, once I start working with the ladies that I work with, it tends to be very deep rooted, like, am I worthy concepts and in right. situations, and just like lacking the inner love and confidence. So if we as coaches can help these women and even men that we work with really find their inner love for themselves, and through weight training, that kind of starts happening when they start feeling more confident. That's where I think a huge amount of success will come from. But definitely, like, a huge part to play is mental health and how people are truly feeling about themselves on a very deeper, like, deep-seated level.
Right. It
really starts there.
And I think, you know, the beauty of it is with strength training, it kind of hits all those markers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you – the initial shock is just, oh, look, I can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it is 25 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And look, and everybody has that thought process too, right? Like, you go into a gym and you see guys throwing up a lot of weight. And even as a guy, right, it's intimidating, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know you're not there. But I think, yeah, you know, the strength training, the beauty of it is just connecting those emotions, right, to the psyche, to the physical, which comes full circle and then gives you the appearance and obviously, you know, the feel good, right? Because there's a lot of people that train and don't look like what people would think somebody that trains all the time should look like, but it doesn't matter, right? Because it really just comes down to that they feel good. They feel that they can go and, you know, go for a 3-mile run and not get hurt and feel good, or they can go play with their kids and not get hurt and feel good, right? So, so sum it up. I want to thank you girls for taking the time to being on here and sharing some of your stories. Like I said, I'll definitely have each and every one of you back for your own segment, because I think, being that I know you guys personally, you guys have way more to offer for all our listeners, whether it's female or male. And also, you know, we'll put down on the contact notes all of your IG handles and podcast handles and and the Stronger handle and everything. So people that want a little bit more information can obviously check you guys out, follow you guys, and I guarantee they won't be disappointed with the content you guys put out. So thank you very much.
Well, and thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we'll program the next one here pretty soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.